It's Sunday night, and I don't usually stand up here, but tonight I'm going to. This is our Bring a Gift to Jesus service, and this is a sermon I did several years ago, but I sort of rewrote it for tonight, because, you know, we go over so many Christmas services and Easter services and things, and some of them, at least I just sort of fall in love with them. This is one of those sermons I sort of fell in love with several years ago. So if you heard this one, I changed it, so it's a little different. We're looking at the gifts of the wise men, the gifts of the magi. And there are a lot of gifts that they give. How many gifts did the wise men bring? How many? 20?
Three.
That's what we traditionally remember. But if we look at the story, we're going to find that they gave other gifts. And so I want to sort of look at that first of all. If we're going to learn to bring a gift to Jesus, then maybe we ought to learn from the people who first brought gifts to Jesus. The first gift they gave was the gift of their time. So maybe one of the gifts that we can give to Jesus is our time. Matthew 2, verse 1. When Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, Magi came from the east to Jerusalem. You know, time. It's a non-renewable resource. Once you give it for something, you can't get it back. It's one of those things, you know, if you use some paper, you can plant a tree and fix that, right? But time is one of those things. You can't manufacture it. You can't earn more of it. You can't get back what you waste. Once you've used it, you've used it. And these wise men, if Herod was anywhere close to right, they probably spent a year or two of their lives just getting to Jerusalem. And probably another year or two getting back home. So they invested a significant portion of their lives because there was something that they wanted to do, someone they wanted to worship. How much of your time do you give to Jesus? Does your datebook show it? Does it show that Jesus has first place in your life? What gift of time will you bring to Jesus this year? Or then, we need to give the gift of effort. Matthew 2 verse 1 says that they traveled from the east to Jerusalem. Now, travel these days is fairly easy, right? I mean, how many of you drove more than 5 miles to get here today, tonight? Now, how many of you remember when traveling 5 miles was a significant event in your life? I say, I don't particularly remember that. But, you know, I know people, my mom probably remembers times when traveling 5 miles was a big deal. Right? How many of you remember, you know, how many of you work in Louisville? Anybody, you know, live here and work in Louisville? Yeah. Now ask your grandparents who grew up in Spencer County, how many of them lived in Spencer County and worked in Louisville? Probably not too many of them. Because it wasn't that easy to get there. I've talked to people in our community where going to Louisville, you know, they would go to Louisville for Christmas shopping or for back to school shopping once or twice a year. Because they have to, I think some people told me they took the train in or something like that. It would be a big deal to be able to do that. Travel in our day is fairly easy. These days, a trip across the country is a couple of hours on an airplane. Back then, it took time. It took effort. You had to hop on a camel's back. How many of you have ever ridden a camel? Have you? My wife has. A couple times. I've got pictures. And oh, that's right. Mom rode a camel out in California. Yeah. It takes effort. And camels bite, by the way. So part of the question is, how hard are you willing to work to get to Jesus? To get to know Jesus. These men were willing to basically walk from Persia or perhaps even farther away, perhaps from China or India, to meet the King of Kings. How far will you go? What effort will you make to know Jesus? There's time, there's effort. And then we need to give the gift of our talents. It says in verse 2, "Where is the one who has been born the King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." Now God has given us all gifts and abilities. The Bible says that each of you has been given gifts. It tells me that. Are you using them for Him? The wise men were probably gifted observers, able to understand the signs of the times, able to understand the seasons, able to perceive, and perhaps even from fragmentary evidence. One of the reasons I think they possibly came from Babylon is because that's where the Jews were imprisoned for years. And so they may have heard stories and may have heard some of the prophecies about Jesus. And so they had enough information, but they worked to put it together. You may be a nurse or a teacher. You may be a farmer or even a preacher. Wherever or whatever you are, whatever your gifts or talents, we need to give them to Jesus. So we have our time, we have our effort, we have our talents. What about the gift of our allegiance? In this passage, they run into King Herod. And Herod says he wants to come and worship the baby. And they defied King Herod. They went back another way because they were warned in a dream to return another way. Well, in that day and time, defying King Herod was not a good thing. King Herod was known for killing people. If we remember the story of Jesus, he, after the Magi went back, what did he do? He sent his soldiers into Bethlehem to kill all the baby boys under 2 years old. We have historical reports that Herod even had his own children murdered because he feared that their ambition would be a threat to his rule. We live in a world where people will make fun of Christians, where people will ridicule our faith. Herod was that kind of person. He would not have hesitated to give us a hard time. He would not have hesitated to murder an infant king to preserve his own power. But these magi, these wise men understood who had the real power. And after they bowed and knelt to Jesus, they defied Herod and went home another way. Earthly power is temporary. God's power and God's plan are eternal. He's the only one we should follow. So, we have the gift of time, we have the gift of effort, the gift of our talents, we have the gift of our allegiance. We should also give the gift of our excitement. You've probably heard me say this many times, but on Sunday morning, I love to have a celebration in worship. Listen to what it says. It says, after they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they were overjoyed. They allowed their excitement and their enthusiasm to show. And I'm looking out here tonight and I'm thinking, y'all are tired, aren't you? There's not much excitement showing out there. Thanks for laughing at that joke. They were overjoyed. I think sometimes we forget that our faith is a powerful and an emotional thing. And it's okay to allow those emotions to show. Certainly our faith is rational and reasonable. But that's not all there is to it. We're emotional beings and God made us that way. And He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and all your mind. And we'll get to that later. We need to let our joy and excitement show. This service, for example, and candlelight services in general, I think are a little laid back. And sometimes those speak a little more clearly than others. But we always want to celebrate and let our excitement show. So many children are excited about Christmas morning, about presents and about family. I hope that you and they are equally excited to celebrate the coming of Christ. So give your time, give your effort. We need to give our talents, our allegiance. We need to give our excitement. And we need to give the gift of worship. Matthew 2:11 says, on coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary. And what did they do? They bowed down and worshiped him. When we lived in California, a friend of ours had been the youth pastor at our church and went to another church. And we went to their Christmas program 1 year. He invited us. And they did a marvelous program. And I'm guessing, really, at that time, Mosaic wasn't that big, was it? I mean, the room probably wasn't much bigger than this. And they did a Christmas program, and one of the things that happened was they had a baby boy. They assumed, because of what, you know, the pastor says, that Jesus may have been a year or 2 years old. He may have been a toddler. And so they did the birth scene, and then they brought in this toddler when the Magi came in. And I found out later, and it just touched my heart because I realized what a powerful picture that was. One of the Magi who came in to kneel before that infant king, that little boy was his son. And I think about that and what that meant to them and what that means to me, to know that no matter whether he's the infant in the manger or the Lord seated in heaven above, he's still God. He's still King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And we need to give Him the gift of worship. I know some people think that worship is not a gift you can give. But God made us as human beings with a need, even a desire to worship. And the Lord gives us free will. We have the freedom to choose to worship or not to worship. And sometimes, and I know a lot of you think, you know, when the pastor's up there in the pulpit and everybody out there and you think you're sort of anonymous, I just want you to know I see you. And I know that some mornings you come in, and I've seen it, and I've probably done it too. Some mornings you come in, and it's been a rough night with the kids, and, you know, you get in the car, and, you know, you get to church, and you're throwing them out of the car saying, "Go to church!" Right? And you sit down, and you're like, you know. And sometimes I can even watch as we go through a service, and I'll see somebody that's come in, and it's like, they're hard. And then suddenly something happens, whether it's a song sung or a testimony that's given or a word spoken from the Bible, and you can see their faces and their hearts melt as they begin to worship. And they have to choose to let that happen, because you've seen it and I've seen it. Sometimes people come into worship and God starts speaking to them. And you can see it on their face. They're starting to let go, and then they pull back and they step away from it. Give the gift of worship this Christmas. Give the gift of time and effort, of talents, of allegiance, of excitement, of worship. And then, of course, we want to give the gift of our treasures. We talked about this. They opened their treasures, it says, and presented them gifts of gold and of frankincense and of myrrh. Now, that's probably what you think when we talk about the gifts of Christmas. Because, and I've looked over the internet, and most sermons about the gifts of Christmas, they focus on gold and frankincense and myrrh. And we talk about those things, but I think there's so much more going on when we really worship the Lord. I think giving those treasures are perhaps the least important things we bring. Because if you offer those other gifts, then the easiest gift to bring to the Lord is treasures. And these treasures really are representatives of the life of Christ. They're a prophecy of Christ's life. The particular gifts of the wise men recognize Jesus' role and rule in our lives. So they gave Him time and effort and talents and allegiance. They gave their excitement and their worship. They gave their treasures. But they also recognized His sovereignty. That's what gold was. It was a picture. Gold and wealth is a picture of spiritual wealth. It is a prophecy of the worth and the value of Christ. It's an indication of the royalty of Jesus. Revelation 21:18 tells us that the walls of the city of Jerusalem, the heavenly city, are made of jasper, and the city was pure gold, as pure as glass. Revelation tells us that the 12 gates of the city were 12 pearls, and each gate was a single pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold, like transparent glass. The gold represents His royalty. And so when we give those kind of treasures, we recognize His royalty. We recognize that He's worthy of those gifts. But it also, that frankincense recognizes His holiness, His sanctity, His divinity. Frankincense was one of the only incenses allowed in the temple. It was very rare, very costly. And it was offered only in the temple. It was something that they only used in worship. Exodus chapter 30 tells us that. Exodus chapter 30, verse 9, after it talks about frankincense, it says, "Do not offer on this altar any other incense or any burnt offering or grain offering, and do not pour a drink offering." In other words, this is preserved for that particular offering, that offering of incense, because it represents Christ's divinity, that He is God, and He is sacred and holy. Then, of course, there's myrrh. Myrrh is a spice that they used in embalming. It's a prophecy of His death. So one thing we need to do is we need to recognize His sacrifice and His suffering. It says that they brought spices when they were getting ready to bury Him. John 19, verse 39 says, "He was accompanied by Nicodemus, the man who earlier had visited Jesus at night. And Nicodemus, as they were getting ready to bury Jesus, it says, Nicodemus brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 75 pounds. So we know what they brought. We know the effort, we know the time they took, but why bring such rich gifts? Why bring a gift to Jesus? What compelled them? Why do we bring gifts tonight? Why do I ask you to bring gifts? I think the great answer to that, and the reason all those gifts were given, is because we give from a heart of love. Mark 12:30, Jesus has been asked, what is the greatest commandment? And he doesn't say, thou shalt not, or thou shalt. He says simply this, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The wise men understood that verse. Somehow, though they never heard Jesus speak it, they understood it. Perhaps from Persia, perhaps from Jews in exile there, perhaps they were from India or China, and maybe some Jewish merchant had been there. And they had heard that merchant reciting a thing called the Shema. And the Shema is the verse before this, Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 3. It says, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. I'm sorry, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And then in verse 4, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. And so somewhere along the way, these magi got a hold of those words and they stuck with them. See, one of my beliefs and one of the reasons I think it's important that we give to missions every year is because I believe that God will reach out to people who are reaching out to Him. And I believe these magi, somewhere wherever they were, whether it was China or India or Persia, somewhere they got enough of God's Word, enough of God's truth, that they started searching for Him. And when people start searching for God, God reaches out and makes a way for them to find Him. And so they worshiped Jesus. They showed their hearts as they bowed their heads in worship before the infant king. They offered the strength of their labors in the journey they made, in the riches they offered. They used the minds that God had given them. They applied their insight and their intelligence to finding Him, to searching for Him. They poured out their very souls and they gave Him absolutely the very best that they had to give. Now, before I ask you to bring your offerings, I'm going to ask you to do something else. Because the best we have to give doesn't come from a checkbook, and it comes from a heart of love for God. The best we can give is ourselves. And one of the things I want to do tonight, and I'm looking out here, and I know most of you, and I know most of you have trusted Christ with all your lives. You've done that years ago, maybe months ago, I don't know. But I know that sometimes we need to renew that promise to God. And so I'm just going to ask if you would, everybody to, if you would, to bow with me. And I'm just going to lead us in a prayer. And it's simply a prayer of dedication to God. So your gift to Jesus this year, your first gift and greatest gift to Jesus, is a gift of dedication saying, Lord, I give you myself. So would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, even tonight, as we approach Christmas Day, as we approach Christmas Eve, as we approach this time of offering, I'm reminded of the story that says, silver and gold have I none, but what I give to Thee. I give You my heart. Lord, we give our hearts tonight to You. The only one able to save our soul, the only one able to reach into our lives and pick us up. The only one who can bring us from death to life. And so, Lord, even tonight, I would renew my dedication to You and say, Lord, here's my life. Lead me. Take me. Use me. For that's the only gift I have that is worth giving. And Lord, these other gifts we give, Lord, may they come from a gift, from the gift of our hearts. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, the rest of this invitation is a little bit different. And I'm going to start turning off a few lights here. Okay? I'm going to turn off the Christmas tree. If I can find a little button. Okay, now, here's what's going to happen. I'm going to stand on this side, Jared's going to stand on that side, and we're going to light candles. As soon as we get those candles lit, you can turn off the lights if you would. Are you going to do that for us? Thank you. Okay? And then those envelopes, if you've got those envelopes, we're going to ask you all to stand. And then once we have the candles lit and everybody stands, we're going to start singing Silent Night. How many of you know Silent Night? We figured that was one you all know, so we don't have to get out the hymnals. Okay? And we're going to ask you to line up, and you can drop your gift in. You can either go to Jared's side and just walk out the side and come back to your seats. Or walk out this side and come back to your seats. Jared will be on one side and I'll be on the other. And come and offer your gift to Jesus.